Hey everyone, and welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. Are you ready for another deep dive into the world of cybersecurity? Today we've got some stories that I think really highlight, you know how the line between like human error and super sophisticated tech is getting blurrier by the day?
Yeah, for sure. It's a fascinating mix, that's for sure.
Right.
We've got wannabe ransomware kings who seem to have a real knack for slip-ups, and we've got massive telecoms getting tripped up by the simplest of mistakes, really. And then we'll take a glimpse into the shadowy world of crypto laundering.
Ooh, exciting. Okay, let's jump right in. Let's start with our first story. This one is about a group called FunkSec. And they are, well, they're making a lot of noise, that's for sure. They're claiming to be the new ransomware heavyweights, racking up more victims than I think anyone else this month.
Yeah.
But here's where things get a little bit interesting. They might not be as skilled as they want everyone to believe.
Yeah. You know, it's such a curious case. Like, really, FunkSec seems to have some roots in, like, hacktivism, but they're clearly trying to, you know, sort of level up into that serious ransomware, you know?
The big leagues.
Yeah, the big leagues, yeah. But their early members, though, I mean, they made some pretty basic mistakes.
Like what?
We're talking like accidentally doxing themselves, asking for hacking advice on like public forums, that kind of thing.
You almost have to admire the audacity though, right?
Please
it's
do.
Like they're stumbling their way into the big leagues.
Totally.
Which is fascinating in itself, right? But what makes FunkSec really interesting, I think, is that they're not just relying on like the off-the-shelf tools, you know?
Right.
They're developing their own custom ransomware.
Yeah.
DDoS tools.
Uh-huh.
They've even got a remote desktop management tool. And this is, just so everyone knows, this is basically software that lets you control another computer remotely.
Exactly.
So that's a little scary in itself.
Yeah, and that's not all. There's more. What I think is particularly striking is their use of AI. Like, they've actually created a custom chatbot.
Wow.
And there's even evidence that they're using, get this, AI to help write their code.
Who are these guys?
I know, right?
That's next level.
No, that, to me, that's a whole other level of sophistication.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, their execution isn't always perfect.
Right.
It's still...
still pretty impressive.
Kind of scary.
It's pretty wild. Like, think about this for a second, okay? We've got a group, and maybe they're not, you know, the sharpest tools in the shed at first glance, but they are embracing AI to potentially boost, like, their actual hacking skills.
Right.
So it begs the question, I mean, are we looking at the future of cybercrime right now?
Yeah. It's a possibility we can't ignore, right?
Yeah.
Think about it. AI tools, they're becoming more accessible every single day. So even groups like FunkSec, who, as you said, might not have, like, you know, the top-tier coding skills, can use AI to potentially develop and deploy increasingly sophisticated attacks.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, and that's something that should give us all pause.
Yeah, for sure. It really underscores how this whole landscape is evolving.
Yeah.
And I think how we need to constantly adapt our defenses to kind of keep up, right?
Absolutely.
But before we go too far down that rabbit hole, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about a story that highlights how even the most basic security oversights, like the tiniest little things, can have major, major repercussions. We're talking about Telefonica. A giant in the telecom world, a company many of you are probably pretty familiar with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Telefonica is a household name. And you know what happened to them? What happened to them is a stark reminder that sophisticated hacking isn't always the biggest threat.
Right.
Sometimes it's the simplest things that really trip us up.
Yeah.
In this case, it was compromised employee credentials, just simple logins.
It's so basic.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me it wasn't some elaborate, you know, zero-day exploit.
Yeah.
It was just like simple logins.
Yeah, good old-fashioned compromise logins.
Which, I don't know, isn't that almost more unsettling?
Yeah.
It is.
Because it shows that even with all the fancy security tech out there, human error is still a major, major weak point.
Absolutely. And when you're dealing with a company as large as Telefonica, those simple mistakes, they can have massive consequences.
Yeah. I mean, think about the sheer volume of data they handle.
I know, right?
That includes probably some very sensitive customer information.
Oh, yeah.
So in this breach, what exactly was compromised? Like, what kind of data are we talking about?
So it seems that their internal ticketing system was breached.
Okay.
And that's where things get a bit concerning. These internal systems, even ones that might seem like, you know, pretty mundane like a ticketing platform can often contain a treasure trove of information. I mean, we're talking potential access to customer details, internal communications, maybe even network configurations.
So that's not good.
No, not good at all. It kind of paints a pretty concerning picture of like their internal security practices, really.
Yeah. It is a bit unnerving to think that even a company like Telefonica, with all the resources in the world,
I know, right?
Can be vulnerable to something as simple as compromised credentials.
It's crazy.
It makes you wonder, are companies, even the big ones, are they really doing enough to protect those basic entry points?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. And it's one we'll be exploring further as we dig deeper into these stories today. But before we move on from this Telefonica thing, there's one more detail about the breach that I think is, well, I think you'll find it pretty intriguing.
Yeah.
It turns out another group was also involved. This group is known as Hellcat Ransomware.
Oh, wow.
So we've got two groups potentially linked to this breach.
Yeah, that adds a whole new layer of complexity, doesn't it?
It really does. It really highlights how interconnected these cyber criminal groups can be.
It's fascinating.
One group steals credentials, the other swoops in to capitalize with a ransomware attack. It's a good reminder that we're not just dealing with like isolated incidents.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with a whole ecosystem of cybercrime,
yeah,
where these groups are collaborating, sharing resources, and exploiting each other's successes.
It's like their own little, you know.
It's like a dark, twisted version of like a business network, right?
Right, exactly.
Each player with their own specialty, working together to achieve a common goal, which is, in this case, wreaking havoc and profiting from it.
And that's a good segue, I think, because speaking of profits.
Ooh, good segue, yes.
Let's move on to our final story for this little section.
For this segment, yeah.
Yeah, which takes us into the very murky world of cryptocurrency laundering.
Ooh, I like this.
The world of crypto mixers.
Yes, okay.
These services are fascinating in a somewhat unsettling way. I mean, they're designed to obscure the origins of cryptocurrency, making it incredibly difficult to trace where the money came from, where it's going.
Right, so it's essentially a digital money laundering scheme,
exactly.
Right? It's like taking dirty money, putting it through this complex washing machine of transactions,
right,
and spitting out clean, untraceable funds on the other side.
That's a great way to put it.
But I have to admit, the technical side of how these crypto mixers actually work,
yeah,
it's still a little bit of a mystery to me.
Okay, well, imagine it this way. You have a cryptocurrency transaction, right?
Yeah.
It's recorded on a public ledger called, you know, the blockchain.
Okay, yeah.
Now imagine taking that transaction and mixing it with hundreds, even thousands of other transactions, shuffling them around, breaking them up, and putting them back together.
Okay, I'm starting to get it.
In a way that makes it virtually impossible to follow the original trail of money.
Got it. So that's essentially what a crypto mixer does.
Right. And what's even more fascinating is that this complex process has been made accessible to virtually anyone through online services.
Really?
I mean, you don't need to be a cryptography expert to use them.
So in a way, it's kind of like democratizing money laundering, right?
It is.
Making it easier than ever for criminals to clean their ill-gotten gains.
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, I understand that there's been a recent crackdown on these crypto mixer services, though, right?
Indeed, there has been. In fact, three individuals were recently indicted for operating two major crypto mixers.
Wow.
Blender.io.
Okay.
And Sinbad.io. And these weren't small-time operations. We're talking about platforms that allegedly laundered millions of dollars in cryptocurrency.
And this is where the story gets really interesting, right?
Sure.
Because Blender.io was linked to something much bigger than, like, your average cyber criminal operation.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Right.
Blender.io, it turns out, was allegedly used by North Korean hackers to launder millions of dollars stolen in the infamous Axie Infinity hack.
Whoa, so that's crazy.
Right. That really highlights, to me, the global scale and the incredibly high stakes involved in this world of cybercrime. We're not just talking about individuals trying to hide some illicit profits. We're talking about nation states using these tools to fund their operations, potentially even, you know, scary stuff like their weapons programs.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's a chilling thought, isn't it? To think that something as, I don't know, as seemingly abstract as cryptocurrency laundering could be connected to such serious real-world consequences.
Absolutely.
And this brings us back to that central question that we've been kind of grappling with today, right?
Yeah.
How do we as individuals, as a society, how do we adapt and defend ourselves in this ever-evolving landscape of cyber threats?
It's a question that requires constant vigilance and a willingness to learn and adapt because, as we've seen today, the threats are coming from all directions.
Right.
From amateur groups leveraging AI to sophisticated nation-state actors exploiting seemingly simple vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
And in the middle of it all, we've got everyday individuals and businesses just trying to navigate this digital world safely and securely. So what can we learn from these stories? What are the key takeaways that we can apply to our own digital lives?
That's exactly what we're going to be exploring in the next part of our deep dive today.
Awesome.
We'll be digging a little deeper into the implications of these stories, looking at what they mean for you, for your business, and for the future of cybersecurity as a whole.
Looking forward to it.
So stay tuned.
Welcome back. You know, as we go deeper into these stories, what really strikes me is how they all point to this sort of convergence happening in the cybersecurity landscape. On the one hand, you've got the persistent threat of human error. You know, those simple slip-ups that can leave even the most secure systems totally vulnerable. And on the other hand, you've got this rapid evolution of technology, AI in particular, being used by both attackers and defenders, really.
Yeah, it's like a constant tug of war, right?
It is.
As defenses get stronger, the methods of attack just become more sophisticated.
Right.
And sometimes, those attacks exploit the weakest link, which, as we've seen, is often us.
Yeah, humans. Exactly. Exactly. And that's where things get really, really interesting, I think. If we look at FunkSec, for instance, their technical skills might not be, you know, the most impressive at first glance, but their willingness to embrace AI, I mean, that's a game changer.
Yeah, totally.
They might be stumbling, but they're stumbling forward, right?
Yeah.
Using AI to potentially amplify their capabilities to try and bridge that, you know, that skills gap.
It's almost like a cautionary tale, right?
It is.
If a group like FunkSec can leverage AI for malicious purposes, imagine what, you know, more sophisticated actors with deeper technical expertise could do.
Right, and that's scary.
It's scary.
That's a scary thought.
It paints a pretty unsettling picture of what the future of cybercrime might actually look like.
Yeah, it does raise some serious concerns. But on the flip side, it also underscores the potential of AI for good, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if attackers are using AI to enhance their attacks, we can use AI to, you know, bolster our defenses.
Right.
To predict and prevent those attacks before they even happen.
So it's like this cyber arms race.
Yes.
With AI as the weapon of choice, both sides constantly trying to outsmart and outmaneuver each other.
It's a great way to put it.
That's intense.
It is. And it's a race that's already well underway. I mean, we're seeing more and more security solutions, incorporating AI.
Right.
Using it to analyze massive amounts of data, identify patterns, detect anomalies that might signal an attack.
Yeah, which begs the question, I think, what does all this mean for us? For everyday people and businesses trying to navigate this, this increasingly complex digital world, right?
Yeah.
What are the key takeaways, the practical things we can do to actually stay safe?
Well, for individuals, it really boils down to vigilance and awareness, I think. Strong, unique passwords for every account, being wary of phishing emails and suspicious links, keeping your software updated. These are all fundamental practices that, honestly, are more important than ever. And I can't stress this enough, enable multi-factor authentication wherever possible. It adds an extra layer of security that, I mean, it can make a world of difference.
It's like locking your front door and then adding a deadbolt.
Exactly.
You know, it makes it that much harder for someone to break in.
Exactly. And for businesses, the stakes are even higher, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Investing in robust security solutions, training employees to recognize and avoid threats, having a clear incident response plan, these are all essential components of a comprehensive cybersecurity strategy. And this is crucial, don't underestimate the importance of regularly backing up your data. If a ransomware attack does hit, you'll be glad you did.
Yeah. All great points. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by all this, but I think it's important to remember that knowledge is power.
Yeah.
The more we understand about the threats that we face, the better equipped we are to actually protect ourselves.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's why we're here, right? To help break down these complex topics, to empower you with the information that you need to make, to make informed decisions about your cybersecurity.
Now, going back to our stories for a second, the Telefonica breach in particular really hammered home the point about how even seemingly mundane systems can be entry points for attackers, right?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't their fancy network infrastructure that got hit. It was their ticketing system, something that probably doesn't get as much security attention.
Yeah, and that's a trap so many organizations fall into, I think. They focus on securing the, like, you know, the crown jewels, the most sensitive data and the big stuff, but neglect the kind of the less glamorous but equally critical parts of their infrastructure. Those seemingly mundane systems, I mean, they can be just as valuable to attackers, especially if they provide like a backdoor into more sensitive areas.
So it's about having a holistic approach to security.
Yes.
Not just focusing on the like obvious targets.
Exactly.
But securing every nook and cranny of your digital footprint.
Precisely. And that includes securing the human element, which, as we've seen, is often the weakest link.
Right.
Regular security awareness training for employees, simulated phishing campaigns to, like, you know, test their resilience.
Keep on their toes.
Clear policies around password management and data handling. These are all essential pieces of the puzzle.
It's like building a strong fortress.
Yeah.
You can't just have thick walls. You got to make sure the guards are alert and, like, well-trained. Right.
Excellent analogy. And just like with a fortress, there's no such thing as being 100% secure. The goal is to make it as difficult as possible for attackers to breach your defenses, to make the, you know,
the juice not worth the squeeze.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The effort outweigh the potential reward.
Now, shifting gears a little bit, I think our discussion about CryptoMixers brought up a really interesting point about like the global nature of cybercrime.
Yeah.
The fact that North Korean hackers were allegedly using a crypto mixer to launder stolen funds. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really highlights the interconnectedness of this world, doesn't it?
It does. Cybercrime transcends borders. It operates in a global network, often with connections to, like, you know, nation states and organized crime.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that makes it incredibly difficult to track down perpetrators, to gather evidence, and to actually, like, enforce laws.
Yeah. It's a bit like playing a game of whack-a-mole, isn't it?
It is. It is.
You shut down one operation, another one pops up somewhere else.
Exactly.
And with the added layer of cryptocurrency, which is designed to be decentralized and difficult to trace, it becomes even more challenging, I think.
It does. And that's why international cooperation is so, so crucial. Mm-hmm. We need a coordinated global effort to share information, develop consistent regulations, and work together to really disrupt these criminal networks.
It's a daunting task, for sure. But I think there's also a glimmer of hope in the fact that law enforcement agencies are getting better at, like, tracking down these crypto mixer operators, right?
Well, yeah, they are.
The recent indictments are kind of a testament to that.
Yeah, they are. And they send a strong message that these activities won't be tolerated. But as we discussed earlier, it's, you know, it's a cat and mouse game.
Yeah.
As long as there's a demand for these services, someone will find a way to provide them. The key is to make it as difficult as possible to raise the, like, you know,
the barrier to entry.
Yeah. The cost of doing business for these criminals.
And that brings us back to the role of AI, doesn't it?
It does.
If AI can be used to enhance attacks, it can also be used to enhance investigations, right?
Right.
To analyze blockchain transactions, to identify patterns and connections that might lead to the perpetrators.
Absolutely. AI has the potential to be a powerful tool in the fight against cybercrime, helping us to, like, stay one step ahead of the criminals. But it's not a silver bullet.
You're right. Yeah. It's not a matter of simply deploying AI and expecting it to solve all our problems.
Right. We still need
human expertise, collaboration, and I think a deep understanding of that evolving threat landscape to effectively combat cybercrime. And perhaps most importantly, we need to be proactive.
Yeah.
To anticipate threats and to build resilient systems that can actually withstand attacks.
Well said. It's not just about reacting to incidents. It's about being prepared, about having a plan in place and constantly adapting to the, you know, the ever-changing threat landscape.
And that, I think, is a great segue into our final thought for today. We've talked a lot about the threats, about the challenges, but let's end on a slightly more optimistic note. We've also seen how technology, specifically AI, has the potential to be a powerful force for good in cybersecurity, right? So the question I want to leave you with is this. As we wrap up, think about this. We've talked about how AI is being used to boost attacks, right? From chatbots designed to trick people to potentially even helping write malicious code.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's a concerning trend for sure. Almost like attackers are just constantly on the lookout for new ways to weaponize these new technologies as they come out.
But what if we flip the script? What if we, the good guys, the defenders, what if we get even better at using AI? Imagine, like, super smart systems that can analyze tons of data in real time.
Right.
You know, spot attacks before they even happen, learn from, like, from every single incident, and maybe even predict where the next threat is going to come from.
It's a fascinating thought, isn't it? It's almost like an AI-powered cybersecurity arms race.
Yeah.
Both sides are constantly trying to push the boundaries of what's even possible.
Exactly. And that's where things get really, really interesting, I think. Could AI be the key to staying ahead of the curve, you know, in this crazy evolving threat landscape? Or will it ultimately create new vulnerabilities, new challenges that we haven't even thought of yet?
It's a big question, isn't it? And I don't think there's an easy answer. AI has the potential to be a total game changer in cybersecurity, both for good and for bad. It really all comes down to how we, you know, how we develop it, how we deploy it, and how we govern these super powerful technologies.
Right. So it's not just about the tech itself, but about the human element, the ethical stuff.
Yeah.
And the policies and regulations that kind of that guide how it's used, right?
Exactly. AI is a tool, and just like any other tool, it can be used for good or bad.
Right.
It's really up to us to make sure that we're using it ethically, responsibly, and in a way that benefits everybody.
That's a great point. I think we often get like so caught up in the technical details, like the ones and zeros of it all, that we forget that cybersecurity is really about people.
It is, yeah.
It's about protecting our data, our privacy, our livelihoods.
Absolutely.
And AI has the potential to play a huge role in that, but only if we use it wisely.
I completely agree. And I think that's why it's so important to keep having these conversations, to explore the potential benefits and the risks of AI in cybersecurity, to engage with, you know, policymakers and industry leaders, and to make sure that we're developing and using these technologies in a way that aligns with, you know, with our values as a society.
Well said. So as we conclude our deep dive today, I want to leave you with this final thought.
Mm-hmm.
The cybersecurity landscape is constantly evolving. New threats are emerging all the time, and the stakes are, well, they're higher than ever. But amidst all those challenges, there's also this sense of opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. This chance to harness the power of technology, including AI, to try and build a more secure digital world.
It's our responsibility to be informed, to stay vigilant, and to actively participate in shaping the future of cybersecurity. It's a shared responsibility, one that requires collaboration, innovation, and a commitment to, you know, an ethical and responsible use of technology.
That's a great way to sum it up. So until next time, everyone, stay curious, stay informed, and stay safe online.
And remember, the best defense is a good offense. Be proactive, be prepared, and never underestimate the power of knowledge.